Amazon.com.
Happy Labor Day. What's left of it, anyway, for some of you across this great nation. I hope you had a chance not to labor, but to chill instead. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. We zig and zag all over the place, in and out of your backyards. And boy, Mother Nature has been so angry. I know it seems like I say this every single show, but every week here on ATN, we're telling you about some horrible event, whether it's a flood, fire, hurricane, tropical storms, mudslides, tornadoes, whatever it might be, and we certainly have some of that in Texas. The wildfires burning in Austin, Texas. They say it's one of the weirdest places on earth. Austin, Texas is a cool place to hang out with the hills and whatnot. It doesn't quite fit in to what you think of in Texas if you've never been here. And it's sad to see just a orange haze over this city that, of course, is the home to the University of Texas, and you have students that are back there. 500 homes burned so far. And I know some people listening could say, 500 homes, I mean, that's terrible and everything. But, geez, we've had fires where there have been many more homes that have been burned as a result. And the thing is, this is not done yet. Because, remember, they've had a terrible drought in that state. So the wildfires, they have a lot to chew on. Evacuations all over the place. So a lot of people have been evacuated, and if they're lucky, they have not lost their homes. But so far, because of these fires that have bubbled up, 25,000 acres at least have been scorched, at least. And that could be a little bit of a low guesstimate. I was talking to some people today, and they think it's a little bit higher. There's a place called Steiner Ranch in an area that's beautiful. Travis County, giant lakes there, lots of kids and families and that kind of stuff, just massively ripping that apart. I mean, ripping it apart. And when you're fighting this sucker, as some of you firemen know, it's an impossible task. I mean, you're just hoping, waiting, getting extra help on the line, watching the wind patterns, all that kind of stuff. And you have to think about helicopters coming in and dumping water. Much like they do with the Santa Ana winds, when they whip up and it gets out of control and the wildfires go crazy, I bet you they're going to end up doing something like that in Austin. I don't think I've ever seen a fire that big in that city, outside of that city. And all it is like just a black hole with an orange haze around it. So nasty, nasty stuff. Lots of state highways shutting down. Black Hawk helicopters dousing the flames, anything that they can do. They haven't gone full force in this, but they're going to have to do it, like I said, much like they do on the West Coast, because it's just that bad. I hope the rest of you, though, were able to enjoy your Labor Day at least somewhat. Maybe you had the day off, maybe not. Maybe you were working. Maybe you were working extra time. I have a buddy that is a Cisco engineer. he wants to do it, so he does it, but he's always working the holidays, always. So there is no de-laboring for him. And I bet because of where we are right now economically, a lot of you, if you had a chance to snap up and grab some extra time, you probably did much of the same thing. This is a big week for a lot of reasons. Heading toward the end of the week, of course, it's the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Which will be here before we know it. I cannot believe that it's been 10 years since that horrible, horrible tragedy that ripped up so many lives. Of course, we will be on the air on Sunday the 11th, as usual, and we'll have lots of different things, lots of going back in the time machine and listening to what it sounded like on that terrible, terrible day and how far we've come. I'm going to be in New York 5 days after 9/11, and I'll post some pictures on the website and whatnot of the memorial, because I'll get a chance to see some of what's now happened at Ground Zero. It's designed a much different way, where they've got a memorial park with 400 trees and these giant fountains that they've already put in. I mean, it's just incredible waterfalls that they've already put in with the names of everybody who was killed on 9/11. The Pentagon people, everybody on the flights, Shanksville, Pennsylvania folks, all of them. And I'm fascinated to get a feel for this, because what I understand is it's spectacular and hasn't really been revealed to the public yet at this point, but will be on 9/11. The families will be there and the former presidents will be there. And then after that, people will get a chance to see what's now in place of where the World Trade Centers, the two towers, where they actually stood. Can you imagine? And the brilliance of this, the brilliance of having a way to memorialize those people, a place to go, since a lot of folks didn't have people to bury. They had nothing. They had nothing of the people. Now they have a place at least where they can go and see their name. And then, of course, the buildings, that's a whole other story, and we'll be talking about that later as well. So, in the meantime, bouncing back to the weather and what that has meant for some people, tornado sirens also going off. For any of you listening in the Georgia area, Tropical Storm Lee hit and damaged maybe a dozen plus homes there, knocked out power, though, to thousands of people. And really 30 miles north, it seems, of downtown Atlanta, from all the shots and things that I could see, that's where the most damage hit. You know, it's that cherry-picking thing when the winds go down. So knocked out 20,000 people, Georgia Power says, to 20,000 customers, and most of those were around Atlanta. In Tennessee, people were swimming. 8-plus inches of rain, 24 hours, and they were expecting another couple of inches as well. Some of the worst that they've seen since the late 1800s when there was a record of it, which was much less, 7 and change. 1886, you have to go back to that. And so then you have the whole thing with the creeks overflowing. And you know, again, this is almost a familiar theme as well. In Mississippi, a lot of friends in Jackson, Mississippi, a storm slammed power lines there and trees and whatnot, and Alabama, too. Sadly, the last I heard, late into Sunday, they were looking for a 16-year-old boy who, the last time they can remember, he was on the Gulf Shores area on that beach on Sunday, but they still can't seem to find him. I mean, I don't know if he was trying to surf, what he was trying to do. So this Lee, Tropical Storm Lee, has had some horrific winds, and that's also led to part of those wildfires that I mentioned at the top. Some people in the another part of Texas have been hit by that, so you can't win whether you're in the eastern part of Texas or the central part of Texas. You got slammed one way or the other. And New Orleans had 13 inches of rain. They had wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour, but luckily New Orleans was pretty functional. They had pump stations just that went through this whole thing, 24 of them. So they were able to get a lot of the water out, and they didn't have significant power losses. They had 200 people or so without power. That's the good news, that New Orleans didn't see the big, big, big brunt of that. All right, it wouldn't be Labor Day if we weren't talking about politicians talking somewhere and kissing some babies and shaking some hands. That's where we're headed next. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
To be president on the Republican side of things and has really shook things up, let's face it. He's really rocked the Romney boat anyway, because Mitt Romney, I think, had a sense that, ooh, you know, I got things down. I figured this out. I figured out the Jenga puzzle of politics on the Republican side, and I think I'm hitting my stride. I think I'm out there. And then suddenly someone pulled a piece out of the pile, and that would be Governor Rick Perry from Texas, who left his campaigning because of the Texas wildfires. But before he did that, he had a chance to take a few shots in the direction of, number one, Obama, and specifically talking about why he ran. Here's what he said about, you know, his wife actually shaking him up and saying, you need to do this. You need to go out there and step out there. Listen to what he says, what his wife told him.
She said, our country is in trouble. And you do not have the privilege to sit on the sideline. You got to do your duty.
All right, then he made kind of cracks at the president, like I said, and talked about the fact that, you know, where is he on Sunday? He's in church. He's going to be in church with his wife. He's not on some golf course somewhere. And he's, of course, referring to the president and how many times and how many rounds of golf that he's played. He also talked about gun control in a joking way, almost in like a Dan from Texas who listens to this show kind of way. Take a listen to what he said.
I'm actually for gun control. Use both hands.
All right, I have to give him credit for that. That was pretty funny. Use both hands. I don't have to steal that one. All right, and then the big thing, which is the president's speech this week, coming up if we were to page forward and look ahead in our iPhones through our calendars of what's happening politically, 2012, which would affect the president, because, of course, he's running again, is job creation. It's the economy, it's jobs, it's all the numbers, it's the stagnancy, it's the underemployed, all that kind of stuff. So Governor Perry had a chance to jump on job creation.
You have to lower the tax burden on the job creators. You have a regulatory climate that is fair and predictable, a legal system that doesn't allow for oversuing, and then get out of the way.
All right, so it doesn't allow for oversuing, so not tied up in the courtroom with a whole bunch of problems on the civil side, I think is what he is definitely referring to there. And like I said, this is the week where, at the tail end of the week, the president will jump into his jobs speech. And pretty much that's going to be, from what I understand, 90% of that focus, maybe all of the focus of what he's going to say when he's in front of the joint session of Congress, when he's got the House and the Senate there. And of course, it's also, and so much was made of the same night that the NFL kicks off too. So Perry was campaigning a little bit, but then made sure that he was in Austin because of the fires, and he of course is the governor of Texas, so he didn't want to be out there dangling too long in some other states, so he made sure he was back, like I said. Mitt Romney had a chance to talk about jobs. And Romney said a couple of things. He wants to go after Red Dragon. He wants to get tough on China. He knows that is certainly a sore point with many Americans, and because that's that whole Made in America thing, it's just one part of the argument. And for his presidential campaigning, what he did is that he's saying he's planning on releasing his jobs plan in Nevada on Tuesday. He said his plan is going to consist of 59 proposals, including 10 that he would introduce on his first day in office. And he said he would pare back regulation. He would get rid of elimination, eliminate regulation. He would eliminate Obamacare as well. And he would, you know, do a whole health care overhaul and limit the government agencies. Government agencies in general, the reach of government agencies, and reduce all of that. So he's falling behind the Texas governor, and that's not lost in any of the polls in that battle for the nomination to challenge the president next year. And, you know, the labor reports that have been released so far, the labor report that was released Friday, showed employment, rather, growth. That was kind of ground to a nothingness, to a halt last month. And unemployment is at 9.1, so it just held steady. It didn't drop. There was nothing changed there. Speaking of that, Secretary Solis, who was out talking on Labor Day and was interviewed by many, many people, talked about a couple of things. What the president's going to say coming up on Thursday, the gist of it, and people still looking for work and all that that entails.
Some that have been supported by both Republican and Democrat, and it's about helping provide a safety net for people that are still looking for work. There's 14 million. We need to focus like a laser beam on this right away, and that's why the president is going to have this major address on Thursday to bring all parties together and the American public. And after that, he's going to take it out to the communities, our neighborhoods, Main Street.
All right, so what that is the setup for that. Okay, the president's going to talk about what his plan is, and then he's going to go out there and just sell it everywhere. That's absolutely one of the cornerstones, maybe the biggest, of what he'll use during 2012 and all the stops and all that. Remember, it was "Change You Can Count On" was his last campaign slogan. I don't know, jobs that you need, jobs you can count on. I don't know what clever turn of phrase they'll use, but it'll have something to do with getting America back to work or whatever, some such thing. And that was the focus politically across the board. Whether it was Romney, whether Romney was talking about going in the wrong direction, saying the country has really arrived at a fork in the road in one direction, the heavy hand of the state, our indebtedness and our decline. And in the other direction, we've got limited government, free enterprise, economic growth. And then, you know, he says, you know what my feelings are towards the way we need to go in America. And it's the opposite of what the president is saying as far as creating jobs, green jobs, shovel jobs, asking all the departments to come up with money. So I can't wait to hear some of the specifics that he's going to probably lay out there on Thursday. And as you can imagine, you know, it was a who's who pretty much on Labor Day weekend trying to shake up the voters and get them involved. As far as shaking up campaign staff, this is kind of a normal thing. And Michelle Bachmann makes a couple of changes. She doesn't want to let go in her desire, no matter what is being said as far as Perry is concerned, to become the first female president and certainly to represent the Republicans. So she decided instead to put one of her biggest advisors into a more advisory kind of role. And accepting the resignation of his deputy. So campaign manager Ed Rollins is now going to be more of an advisor kind of a person, although that has more to do with health problems. His deputy is completely leaving the campaign, and that probably has something to do with that, whatever the strategy is behind it. So instead, you know, and these two were the ones that pushed her to the front, really, in that Ames straw poll. Instead, she's got, looks like, two slots open and no word on who's filling those slots. Perhaps we could submit Rick from Illinois' name. He might be looking for a part-time job. And he seems to think he has a way to cut through the clutter when it comes to Michelle Bachmann or any of the females who are running on the Republican side to try to grab that brass ring called the presidency. And by the way, Wall Street could start off rocking and rolling on Tuesday because the world markets are already plunging. The Asian markets are down significantly, and that's because fears of the recession still are hanging around. If you had a chance to relax over the Labor Day weekend, maybe you went to see a movie, or maybe you dug up some old movies. I played a game called Apples to Apples that some people and guys actually got me involved in, and one of the cards had Casablanca on it. Ingrid Bergman, of course, a big piece of Casablanca, a movie that people still watch and still is used in film schools. That's coming up next in the conversation, our re-rack with Stephen Shohet.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. 877-457-9009 or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
In the world of golf, while the men have had organized tours since at least the early 1900s, the women had to wait a while. More on that next with me, the Sports Princess in Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Refrigerated Cookie Dough. Who would you bake some love for? Find fun and easy baking ideas at tollhouse.com. Kids love doing arts and crafts projects, especially when you join in. Try channeling all that artistic energy into the kitchen and bake up some creative treats together. Think of your art supplies as the frosting, sprinkles, and decorating gels, and use cookies or cupcakes as your canvas. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The Ladies Professional Golf Association, or the LPGA, was founded in 1950 by a group of 13 players, including Babe Dietrichson Zaharias. The world was especially in love with Zaharias, whose real name, by the way, was Mildred. She excelled in golf, track and field, basketball and golf. This woman just flat out was competitive. She even cut a record at one point. Here's what she did, though, on the golf tour. Combining her amateur and professional wins together, she won 82 tournaments in her lifetime. Sadly, Zaharias succumbed to colon cancer at 45 years old in 1956, but not before leaving an indelible mark on the world of sports and the American culture. Today, the Ladies Professional Golf Association, or the LPGA, is thriving. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts.
Just remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh.
The familiar tune from Casablanca. Each and every week, our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohet, you know, he's the author of Hollywood Stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Certainly, he talks about Bogey and, of course, Ingrid Bergman. When you go back and you think of, you know, big-time legends larger than life, these two were, and this movie was huge. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Casablanca, you remember the first time you saw it?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad used to watch it all the time. So, actually, no, because he watched it so much, I don't know exactly the first time. But anyway, I was a kid, and he always loved it, and it just was one of those things where everything sort of improbably came together, especially because Ingrid Bergman had that famous saying about Bogart: "I kissed him, but I really didn't know him." And she tended to get a bit more intimate with her leading men if she could most of the time.
Uh-huh. And that movie, was she cast? I don't know the background of that. Was she originally the person chosen for that and he was, or what happened there?
There were all sorts of casting changes. I mean, other people turned it down. Warner Brothers confused the situation by putting out a press release saying it was going to be Ronald Reagan and Ann Sheridan. But the only reason they did that was because they wanted to keep Ronald Reagan's name in the news. It was pretty much going to be Bogart and Bergman all the time, at least from a production standpoint. And Bergman wasn't that particularly excited about it. She was working for David O. Selznick at the time, under contract to him, and it wasn't the number one role on her radar. The one thing she did in life, she smoked quite a bit, drank quite a bit too, but she said that her character Ilsa was such a good girl that she wouldn't smoke in the movie, she didn't, and of course that was a contrast to practically everybody else in that movie who's smoking up a storm. The other thing about her was that she was so tall compared to a lot of Hollywood actors. The movie she actually won the Academy Award for, Gaslight, her co-star Charles Boyer had to stand on a box, and there was a scene where she had to run and hug him, and she said, "It was so hard because I had to run fast enough so that the audience thinks I'm really excited to see him, but slow enough so I don't knock the box over and take him down with it." So those were some of the things, the issues that they had. And Bogart had some of those issues too, actually. In fact, the funny thing was that you had Claude Rains in that movie, and obviously he's a very small man. And then later on, 4 years later, he made the movie Notorious with Ingrid Bergman under the direction of Alfred Hitchcock, and they had him on a box too to make him seem like he was the same size. So, you know, she was always getting into on-screen relationships where guys had to be made bigger to seem like they were at least as tall as she was.
Yeah. The movie the movie Casablanca, of course, it has that nostalgia thing, and people go back and look at it. Even if you're in your 20s, it's still a retro kind of movie, retro for lack of a better word. Just, you know, it's a throwback. People will go and watch it and probably pick things out of it. In film classes, they'll show it and that kind of thing. But when it was released, was it a big hit?
Yeah, it was a big hit. I mean, it surprised Warner Brothers, but it did really well right away. They had the Allies at that time landed in Casablanca, and that what was going on. I mean, it's amazing when you watch it and the war is on, why the movie is made. And I mean, that's the most incredible thing. I mean, it's like living history, and yet at the same time, they did a lot of plot points that were probably ridiculous. I mean, why would the Nazis respect these letters of transit by General de Gaulle? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But you're watching it and you get caught up in it, and it really doesn't matter. I mean, the whole thing. You don't really notice the flaws. I mean, here, you know, Paul Henreid, who, when they were making that movie, Ingrid Bergman said the biggest problem was, I don't know who I'm supposed to be in love with, Bogart or Paul Henreid. But I think if you watch the movie, it's pretty clear she's in love with Bogart. And Paul Henreid, he said, you know, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. I mean, I'm the leader of the underground, and I'm walking into restaurants that are full with a Panama hat, and the Nazis can see me in plain sight. I mean, so he was unhappy. Bogart reportedly had a lot of unhappiness because he was fighting with his wife, Mayo, at the time. In fact, there are some stories never confirmed that one reason he looked so dour is because Mayo was behind the camera, you know, glaring at him, accusing him of having an affair with Ingrid Bergman. And Ingrid Bergman wasn't that thrilled because she was trying to get the part of Maria in the movie For I forgot the name of it, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Bell Tolls,
the,
yeah.
Ernest Hemingway. And so her mind was mostly on that. And yet they all, you know, had this amazing chemistry on the screen. And a great story about Bergman. Years later, I mean, she always complained about it. She said, you know, I've done all these great movies, and all anybody ever wants to talk about is that thing I did with Bogart. Well, years later, she was at a, in the 60s, she was at a college retrospective of her films. And so they showed Casablanca, and she watched it with the audience. And then she came up on the podium, and she was in a little bit of a daze, and she smiled at the audience and said, wow, that was a really good movie. So there's a chance that she never even bothered to watch it because she was so unimpressed by it.
Yeah. From Humphrey Bogart's side of things, from what you know, was he thrilled with the movie? Did he like the script and like the whole thing?
I don't know why he was making it if he was thrilled, but afterwards, when it made him a major star and a sex symbol and gave him more opportunities, he's certainly happy about that. I mean, his status growing up. I mean, if you would have told him before that he was going to be a sex symbol, he would have been shocked because I mean, they always put him in bad guy roles. Jack Warner had referred to Bogart as ugly, so for him to be in that position, you know, was a big surprise. But when they were making the movie, for example, they have the one scene where they have the dueling, you know, the German national anthem and the French national anthem, and Michael Curtiz told Bogart to nod, and he says, "Why am I nodding? Who am I nodding to? Just nod." And so he nodded, and that turned out to be cueing the orchestra, so they followed Paul Henreid and played along, and that was a very stirring scene. But at the time, you know, he was making that shot, he was just alone nodding. So he didn't have the full knowledge of the entire story. And, of course, I mean, it's been classically told about that movie, but the ending, you know, where they have the line Claude Rains says, "Round up the usual suspects," That came as a sort of an add-on, you know, because they didn't know how to end it by the two writers, the Epstein brothers. So the whole thing just really was organic from what they had written down versus what was up there on the screen.
Yeah. Boy, if you haven't seen it, you really owe yourself, do yourself a favor and go and see it. Stephen likes it. I like it. I've seen it a couple of times, certainly. No doubt about it. It's great, great cinema. And always great to talk to you, my friend. The book is Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it. Thanks, Kate.
And his book is great, too. If you want to go back and really, this is what I like about talking to him every week. He knows those little pieces of information, the history. It's exactly what the book is, those little stories, those anecdotes about the stars and the legends that still live on. And I know in a lot of film classes, like I said, they do take apart Casablanca. That's one of the many movies that they'll look at. If any of you listening, because I sometimes get emails every once in a while from somebody who's going to film school and looking for advice. I don't know why they're asking a radio person, but I never went to film school. But I have had a few friends that have gone through, and that's one of the cool things about that degree. You get to go back and find out some of the secrets behind the shoots and how they set things up and whatnot, from current movies to, you know, going back in history a couple of decades. Coming up next, as promised, we're going to talk to a woman who had to deal with the devastation of Katrina. Could not evacuate. Her story and why you should pay attention, because she's got great tips should you ever find yourself in a situation just like they are in Vermont today. Stay with us.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you, Himbi, and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I think it's something we can all relate to. What have you had to do to make a living? Frankly, to put food on the table, whatever it is, to get through another semester at school. Because we just rolled through yet another Labor Day, 2011 style. Unemployment numbers still the same, 9.1% unemployment. Frankly, we know it's really a little bit higher than that. Certainly in Nevada, it's at double digits, and in other places, same thing. It's the location thing and what you do for a living. It just depends. But there are people who have lost their jobs through downsizing and whatnot, the whole consolidating thing, jobs going overseas. That's still a very big concern for many, many people, especially in the tech industries, because a lot of that is happening. Plus, a lot of foreign workers are coming into the United States to, and they get those jobs that the companies say Americans aren't the most qualified for, or they can't find the right group of Americans, and that's that whole special visa thing. But 9.1%, that's the official unemployment number. So people are doing odd jobs, doing whatever they can, you know, frankly, to make ends meet, to scrape up the mortgage payments or the rent or, you know, whatever it is. We know the same old tune has been playing out all over the place. And so this is a big week for jobs. And we just go through Labor Day. So it does make you think, what's the worst job that you've ever had? And what's the worst job you've ever heard of? And now there's a television show with Mike Rowe where they do the dirtiest jobs. And sometimes I think those are the worst jobs. I don't know how people do them. And I was wondering this the other day because I was at a dog park and I saw a van go by where they were professional poop picker-uppers. I'm not kidding you. So I had the opportunity to ask guy a couple of questions as they double-backed, and they were parking outside of the dog park. And sure enough, it's a thriving business because there are some people who have money to spend, and they don't want to pick up their dog's poop, meaning they go all over the yard, and the guy just comes in a couple of times a week, sometimes a little bit more than that, for a fee, and they have people, and they go out and all over the place. And then sometimes they're even hired by cities to do that. I thought, how are cities affording this? I thought that they put out the dog bags that are stationed kind of around the parks area, and they say, you know, please pick up your dog's litter. But apparently some places they pay people to do it. I don't care what you paid me. I don't know that I would want to do that for a living. In fact, I confidently say I wouldn't want to do that for a living. Now, my worst job, and I probably could string together a whole bunch of them, jobs I really, really liked and jobs that were brutal. And I might have told this one on the air before, but I worked for a very short window of time when I was a teenager. It was all about, okay, I'm going to save all this extra money for college, whatever. I'm just going to do it on my own. I don't want anyone to help me. I'm just going to do it. And so I worked at a donut shop, and you know, the cream filling that they put in the donuts, you know, those, you squeeze them in those big bags into the individual donuts, and the cream's in a giant vat. Well, somebody knocked the vat over, and a big chunk of the cream fell on the floor. And the manager of the store, as we were throwing it out, said, oh, don't throw that out. That's money down the tubes. You just mix that back in there. Whew. That was it for me. I kind of hung up that apron. I was done with the food industry after that. Are you kidding me? You're going to, on this dirty floor, you're going to serve this to people? I told everyone I knew, too. Don't go to that job. Don't go to that job. And that was it. Boom. Quit. That was my, hands down, probably my worst job because of that whole sanitary thing. Matt, you've juggled a lot of jobs like all of us. What would be your worst job? And you can't include this one because we know you love it. So what would your worst job be?
Man, trying to think about all the jobs I've had. And the one I hated the most, I guess, would probably be one of my first jobs working in the food industry, I guess. And that was at one of the fast food joints.
Ooh, you worked at a fast... Was it tiring? Weren't you exhausted when you were done?
And it was just, you felt greasy, and it wasn't a good time. But I was only like 14 years old, I think, at the time. So it was a paycheck, and that's all I cared about at the time. But I only lasted, I think, about 3 months of a summer. And then as the years went on, I worked at golf courses and different things like that that were more interesting to me and I think were a better environment.
Oh, golf course jobs can be good because you have the fringe benefits of getting to play on the course. Did you get that?
I did. And also, it's bittersweet as well because one thing, on the one hand, you have lots of time in the afternoon and evenings, but you have to get there at about 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's early.
It's a yin and yang, but I enjoyed it, and I always had fun. I worked at a golf course for about, two or three summers in a row. So,
yeah, you liked it.
That's an experience doing that, and I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think Matt's job, that was a good one. I had an experience, and I'll tell you, the club that I worked at, it was Woodcrest in New Jersey, and I was probably like 14 or so, and somebody talked me into doing the caddying thing. And of course, you were caddying for whatever bag. It didn't matter if they had a huge bag or not. And I lasted a couple of weekends, but the bags were just way too heavy. And dragging them around 18 holes, you got good tips and they paid you, but it wasn't worth it. It was too much for me. And I liked the game of golf like Matt, but I wasn't taking advantage of the ability to use the course because, of course, to use it, you had crazy times and you were already exhausted from doing the caddying thing. So you have like the small window of opportunity as far as the getting, you know, being able to use it. So there wasn't enough of a payoff, in other words, for me. Decent tips. It seemed pretty cool because I liked the game of golf. Same thing. The environment, I agree with him. I like the idea of the environment, but it was just a short-term thing for me. You know, the Postal Service is a mixed gig for people. I've talked to people in the past who loved their jobs as a postal delivery person even. They're smiling, drive around in the truck. Sometimes they encounter things they didn't want to deal with. But overall, I had a great mailman named Michael who I don't think anyone could really make him feel blue. And this guy, you could tell, he had like a spring in his step, and he would be in and out of the car, like the little, you know, cars they drive around, really truck, the postal truck. And he was just terrific. But I've also seen and talked to people who hate their jobs at the post office, at the windows where there's tons of people waiting and they've cut back on the amount of people that work there. Well, this is scary. I mean, this is getting serious with the Postal Service. I know we've talked about this before. They've talked about, oh, no Saturday service. It goes so much deeper than that. There's a huge story over the weekend in the New York Times, the Postmaster General saying, if Congress doesn't do something, we're going to default because our situation is extremely serious. We are so cash starved, we can't make a $5.5 billion payment that's due this month. We can't do it. And we're going to reach $9.2 billion this fiscal year. That's the deficit, right? So they've talked about they're going to eliminate Saturday delivery. That's going to be inevitable. They're going to close 3,700 outlets. They're going to lay off 120,000 workers. That's about a fifth of their workforce. Even though in their union contracts, there's a no layoffs clause. So now when everybody's back up on the Hill, this is going to be a big one. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee is going to have a hearing on Tuesday on what to do on this predicament. It is dire. If they don't do anything, the Postal Service could literally shut down. I mean, shut down, that's it. Wow. Wow. I don't know that people really realize just how severe it was, the crunch. You think of the banks too big to bail. You think of all the other people with their hand out. And now the post office in trouble. $5.5 billion they need to make that payment. Oh, what should we do?
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resist it.